So the real question is, after reading Bhagavad Gita, do we believe in what Krishna says? He just says, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mame vaisaisi satyante patijami priyosame mame vaisai yuktanam atmanam atparayana. But just four things. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. He doesn't say anything else. He just says about me. Mam. So, Krishna, I promise you, you'll come to me because you're my friend. So, our faith means that we have this promise. Faith means, and this is how Jiva Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes this whole book, Sharanagati. And what does Sharanagati mean? Sharanagati means that when Krishna says, Mame kam sharanam raja aham tam sarva pape vyo. That you believe these two things. I just depend, mame kam, just exclusively depend on Krishna and aham tam sarva pape, and I'll deliver you. Mokshaisham. So when we have that conviction, then we have to guard that and be very careful. That's all that's required. And when we see Srila Prabhupada's life, Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Prabhupada wasn't interested in devotees doing anything else, and he was very guarded and very protective that devotees don't get into other things. They may be Vedic, they may be bona fide, they may be so many other things, but because it runs the risk of depending on something else other than Krishna, which is the tendency of conditioned souls, but you know, what's obvious, immediate, easily given, well, if there's something that's difficult that I never heard of, that's come about by dubious means, and if particularly if I had to pay for it, that must really be something valuable. But if Prabhupada gave it to us free, and everyone on the street is chanting it, anyway, yeah, it's all right. So know that this is, and we have that faith, and that's called pure devotional service. That we have this ultimate faith in Krishna's instruction, and we're willing to stake our life on it. And it's not that when the hard times come, then I have some doubts or I question Krishna, why is this going on? But very, very strong. So it's not an ordinary thing. And even though someone may be a Kanishtha Anikari, a starting devotee, having this type of faith, to acquire it, to maintain it, it happens by very good association. One requires good association with those type of people who have this thing that it's, we're only interested in Krishna. So there's that, and anyway, that's also here, verse by Rupa Goswami. Well, it's just like the chataka bird that just drinks water from the clouds. So there may be rivers and lakes and so many things. He doesn't touch water that's already touched the ground. It just touches clear water as it's falling from the clouds, which is all right in the rainy season, but in the summertime when there's no rain, then you don't drink. So, but Jataka means that he'll die, but he won't touch water from anywhere else other than rain. So Rupa Goswami says the same thing. He says, just pray, just to be like the chataka, and that I'd rather die without your mercy than depend on the mercy of someone else. And Raghunath Das Goswami says that starts from Lord Narayan to demigods to other living entities. Either I get Krishna's mercy, but I don't want anything else from anyone else. So when we have that type of determination in Krishna consciousness, that then becomes the real foundation for strong devotional service. And that's what we want. And that's what Srila Prabhupada gave us. He gave us the form for that, the opportunity, the teachings, the sangha, and the personal example. He's trusted in Krishna. He's referred to or trust in any others. Even though, for instance, and when Prabhupada was questioned about that, even though the worship of Lord Shiva is more or less integral to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I mean, every 2 feet you walk in Vrindavan, there's a Shivalingam in Sridhar Mayapur, in Thakur Bhakti Vinod's house, in so many places. But Srila Prabhupada de-emphasized demigod worship greatly for this purpose. Because by demigod worship in this day and age, people become very easily bewildered, and they start to depend. They start to dilute their faith in Krishna. They don't approach demigods like the gopis approach goddess Katyayani to increase their faith in Krishna. It ends up becoming an alternate to Krishna. So Prabhupada is more or less banned it. Not because it's wrong, and particularly not great devotee demigods like Lord Shiva, but because of the risks. And ultimately, it doesn't matter. Because ultimately, Mani comes Saranam Braja. If you just depend on Krishna, then he'll take care of everything. That's his guarantee. Moksha Shyami Mahasuch. Mahasuch, just don't worry. It's paranoid. Don't worry. So, somehow or another, this thing, it's a really wonderful commodity that we just have this faith. Yes, Krishna said this. I have full faith in it. All right, I guess I'll stop and see if anyone has questions.
What happens with a person that is searching for knowledge without knowing yet what is the truth? So he gets different ideas, so he's cultivating many areas, Mayavadis, personal Vaishnavas. So which seed is going to fructify more? Like the seed of Krishna will kind of overcome the other seeds?
It will depend on how he takes the association of Vaishnavas. He'll come into the association if he's looking. Question is how he will actually respond to Vaishnava association. And if he invests his faith in Vaishnavas and depends on them, then his search for knowledge, like with Gop Kumar, that will lead him to Krishna. But if he's sort of unfortunate and he rejects Vaishnava association, then like Chaitanya Charitarita describes that there was a class of Mayavadis who even Lord Chaitanya couldn't convert. Why? It was just unfortunate. They didn't want to. Their hearts were too hard, they were too offensive. So, but generally, if someone becomes favorably inclined towards Vaishnavas, then they'll get to it. Real thing.
But he doesn't know who are Vaishnavas either. He just listened a little bit from Hare Krishna and then listened a little bit from...
Still, the fact that he hears Hare Krishna, that will give him some kind of qualification for a little more Hare Krishna. And then we'll see what his actual overall mentality will be and how much mercy Vaishnavas give him, how much attention they give him. That's also sort of their free will. But any type of contact with Krishna consciousness, particularly if it's like this, if it's in ignorance, because ignorance is not good, but it's at least it's not offensive. So it's better than Mayavadis who are in knowledge, but they're actually apparatis. So if someone's ignorant, then the chances are that things will fructify gradually in a good way for him.
Okay.
the bad mentality that comes from associating with my bodies. That's the dangerous, and that's the one thing that really takes a person away from Krishna consciousness. And as long as that's there, they can't get anywhere. But all the other types of things, either ignorance or passion or desire for fruitive activities, all of these things can gradually be purified so long as one has the right conception. Ultimately, he has right knowledge. When one has wrong knowledge, when one's knowledge is that Krishna is not supreme, Brahman is supreme, I can become God, then that type of knowledge, that's like poison. So you can't have anything healthy out of that. Yeah, Prabhupada describes that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in first to Prakashananda, then he sat down where they keep their shoes. And they all appreciated his beauty and his effulgence. And that was their Agyata Sukriti. And then Prabhupada talks about Agyata Sukriti. So by that appreciation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they then became qualified to actually hear from him submissively. And when he started speaking, then their minds started to change. But then the story breaks after that, even though... Even though Prakashananda is converted, the story breaks. And then later on, they're conversing and they meet outside, and in the kirtan, then they chant and become Vaishnavas. So there's sort of a process. That's the initial process of how they unknowingly, unwittingly developed their Krishna consciousness. And then they were philosophically defeated and they accepted that defeat. But still, devotion didn't come bring them to the stage where they're going to dance and chant. Because until you dance and chant, you're not a pure devotee. So then, that took a little while before all of that sort of matured, even though they surrendered, they'd accepted. And then that came out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, particularly in that kirtan. Dancing and chanting along with you.
As far as I understand, the holy name is absolute and pure. So can you help me understand how when one were ill-motivated, one who was ill-motivated chants the holy name has ill effects on that person?
Well, ill-motivated particularly refers to my bodies. According to the knowledge that you have, the devotional service that you perform gives an appropriate result. Jiritamam prapadyante. So when you're a Maivadi, you're not, there's no question of surrender. You're not surrendered. Therefore, comes the type of Vajramiham, there's no reciprocation, there's no benefit from your devotional activity. When you're a devotee and you're whatever greater or lesser stage of surrender, then according to your surrender, you get an appropriate type of result. If one is a real beginner in Krishna consciousness, then he gets little result from chanting. The holy name is absolute, but the problem is that we cover the potency of the holy name. We're not chanting the holy name. We're chanting either a shadow of the holy name. Is that all right? So when someone has a completely wrong concept of what and who Krishna is and what the benefits of chanting Hare Krishna is, they don't get any benefit. If you have the right conception of what chanting Hare Krishna is, and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then according to your level of advancement, you get a good proportionate result.
Also, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explaining that if you hear the syllables, even in, I also heard you make this statement as well, that even if the syllables are separated, you still get some benefit. Like if you hear Krish and then Na, like a week later, you still get that benefit of saying Krishna.
Yes, but it's also dependent on how it's being said. When it's being said without offense, even though it may be spoken with little faith, then that has more offense, more benefit. But it's very long-term benefit. And, you know, an example of hearing Krish here and now, a week later, so the further the syllables are separated, the less the effect. So effect may be there, but it may also take lifetimes or even more for that to fructify. And then it depends upon the mentality with which it's also spoken. When it's spoken by someone with a motivation for devotion, then it's weak. When it's spoken by an innocent person or even an ignorant person, then it's a little stronger. When it's spoken with purity, then it has great effect.
Person that has been practicing Krishna consciousness for a long time but hasn't found any taste in it and decides to not chant anymore, would it be still having some faith, would it be completely lost? Would this person be
Some faith, but faith will be cultivated by chanting. So if someone gives up chanting, then the chances are, at least they're really risking losing what faith they do have. Because you can get it and you can lose it. So a seed can dry up and just become unfertile. It will no longer, you know, if it becomes burnt or scorched or something, and it will no longer fructify anymore, even if you pour water on it. So, under all circumstances, whatever the experience, one should always continue to chant, having faith that this is the best thing to do, whether I'm getting taste or not getting taste. Because I'm not chanting for taste, I'm chanting to please Krishna. And so once again, that should be our fundamental faith. We're chanting in order to please Krishna, or at least in order to purify ourselves and advance in devotional service. And I may think I'm so unfortunate that I don't have any faith, so I don't have any taste. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says that tatravta nimati smaranikala. So even though etadrishita vakripa dudaiva midrisham ihajani nanuraga. Well, I don't have any taste, even though I'm chanting. So that's all right, but that's a certain stage of devotional service. A little boy wants to, you know, fly an airplane and wants to become an aeronautical engineer. So he's complaining to his grade school teacher, what are you teaching me arithmetic for, money to teach me airplanes? Well, you don't learn arithmetic, you're never going to learn how to fly an airplane. So it may not appear to be directly connected, but it's integral to getting there. So even though we may chant and not get faith, but we should continue to chant, because even not get taste, because even that tasteless chanting will be integral to chanting with taste, and then chanting with attachment, and like that progressively. One should never give up chanting.
What would we say if someone decides not to chant anymore?
Not to chant. Somehow or another, get them to chant. It's like saying I want to be Krishna conscious without Krishna. So you can't be Krishna conscious without Krishna. So you can't be successful in the Hare Krishna movement without Hare Krishna.
And Maharaj, you said that the problem is not having the desires, it's cultivating the desires, wanting to cultivate your material desires. So, for example, wanting to fulfill them.
Mm.
Okay. So, if I've got material attachments, from what you were saying, I'm finding it quite scary thinking that I have to. Well, I already knew anyway that you know you have to let go of your material attachments before you have the complete faith and surrender to Krishna.
What does it mean to let go? Let go means that I just leave it up to Krishna. Whatever he wants. Everyone has, we're conditioned souls, so we have desires. But our purpose for executing devotional service is not to fulfill desires, but to advance in Krishna consciousness and to please Krishna. Well, that's what it means. And why are you engaging in devotional service? I'm not chanting Hare Krishna, I'm not praying to Krishna so that my desires get fulfilled. I'm just praying for it in order to become a devotee, a good devotee. That's all. And then, if he wants to fulfill the desires, that's fine. If he doesn't, it doesn't matter if you pray to him. If he doesn't want to fulfill your desire, he's not going to do it. You can pray as much as you want. If he doesn't want to do it, he won't do it. And if he wants to do it, you don't have to say a word. He knows. So if he thinks, yeah, that's fine. This person wants, a diploma, a job, a husband, children, and so on. Yeah, that's fine. Krishna's not against those things, but they shouldn't manifest in such a way that they become an obstacle to Krishna consciousness. And the sign that they're an obstacle is when you say, if I don't get these things, I'm not going to continue. I'm going to become very disappointed. I'm going to lose my faith in Krishna. I mean, what's wrong with you? What are you there for if you're not fulfilling these things? So when it's like that, then it's like, calling Krishna's hand, and that's not a wise thing to do. It's better to, play it his way and just leave it up to him, because ultimately he is in charge anyway. It doesn't matter. You can pray to any demigod, anything that you want. If he doesn't want something, they're not going to be able to help you. So, Ravana was a big worshipper of Lord Shiva. And when he was, in the battle fighting against Lord Ramachandra, then he called on Lord Shiva. He said, listen, you got to help me. He says, I'm sorry, with him I can't help you. You got yourself in this, you're going to have to get yourself out of it.
I've heard the very phrase that if somebody performs devotional service, like they buy a book or some small amount of devotional service, then it's guaranteed that in the future they will perform more and more and more, and it's just a matter of time until they achieve perfection. Is that the case, or is it that they always have a choice whether to or whether to not? It's inevitable that they will get there.
Well, they always have to continue making an effort. They have to continue to try. But, once you start watering the seed, if you keep watering it, it keeps growing. And as long as it happens in right association, that people don't fall into wrong association and get wrong ideas about Krishna consciousness, then one act of devotion will lead to another opportunity. But we have free will. We only get opportunities. You don't get, you're not forced into devotional service. You just get opportunities for it. And then, but the inclination for devotion also increases within the heart, because the heart becomes purified. So you get the opportunity, you get the inclination, and then the likelihood is that someone will take it, provided that they don't fall into bad association. Alright, maybe we should stop and can you chant another two? What tune?